I hope you're all comfortable. Everybody has their comfort zone, and there's different things that add to that or take away from it. It might be a certain temperature that you have in the room that makes you comfortable. You might be cold and you need a blanket, or you might be warm and you're feeling like you need to take your jacket off. Or you might have a comfortable recliner that you have in your living room or your family room that you like to spend time in to be able to read a good book or to catch something on television. There's certain things in life that make us feel at ease and certain things that do not. They'll make us feel like we are comfortable, or they'll take us to an uncomfortable place. Society has a lot to do with that for a lot of people. We can feel comfortable in society, or we as Christians oftentimes can feel uncomfortable in society. When there's a crowd of people, how do you feel? Are you the type of person that has joy and comfort when there's all kinds of people around? Or do you prefer to be the person that's with just a small group, closer group of people, and you feel more comfortable with that? We can be duped into being comfortable in society, and God does not want us to do that. One of the other things that's very comforting, you can think about it, is babies feel comfortable in a mother's arms. They feel very comfortable that way, and God has designed it that way. As they grow up, they continue to have that comfort. If they scrape their knee or they do poorly on a test or somebody else hurts them, whether it's mentally or physically, they go running to mom to be able to have what? To have comfort. Tomorrow is a very important day. It's Mother's Day. So don't forget about your mother. And let's have honor and respect for mothers. You can start turning to Ruth chapter 3 and verse 5. Ruth chapter 3. Here's a couple of quotes as you're turning there. Successful mothers are not the ones who have never struggled. They are the ones who never give up despite the struggles. A mother holds her child's hand for a while, but their hearts forever. There is more power in a mother's hand than in a king's scepter. And the last one, a mother understands what a child does not say. They have that bond there, and that's why that's a comfortable situation for a child. A good example of a mother is, here, let's look at Ruth chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Ruth chapter 3. Just read part of this. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered when talking to her mother-in-law. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Did everything that she told her to do. So there's obedience that was there. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. We're very familiar with this. I had a conversation with a gentleman one time after services, and he said, I don't understand. He was of Indian background, and he said, I don't understand how many of the people that in my family, in the church, that are not doing well health-wise, and yet in my family, there is a lot of people that are living to long age, and they're not having a lot of problems. I'll finish this up after we read Deuteronomy 5, and in verse 16. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So, opportunity to honor your parents. And that's what I mentioned to him, is that you come from a society that has a strong honor system, the Eastern mentality, strong honor system for parents. And God's word then says that your days will be long on this earth. So observing that principle. Moms love taking pictures, crying at little moments, cherishing cute little photos. One of the things Dawn, my wife, enjoys is coffee cups. And she recently got one that has all four of our children on it, but they're essentially with their backs there, a coffee cup being held out. She cherishes that. It's a small thing, but it's a thank you, and it means a lot for moms. We must never forsake our mother's teachings. We need to take these things to heart. We need that to be a comfort zone for us. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Don't reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of grace on your head and a gold chain around your neck." That's honoring your mother. We have the opportunity to do that tomorrow. And for those that still have mothers that are alive, then please take that time and honor them. I think often of my mother. I used to, whenever difficulties would come up, be able to reach out to her and get her input on that situation, her counsel. So that was something that went on well into my adulthood. So appreciated that. We all have a place of comfort. We all have people that we go to for comfort. Isaiah chapter 66. Let's turn to Isaiah 66. And we will read verse 13. Isaiah chapter 66. And in verse 13. "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." However, there is a time when comfort can become a thing of concern. So I've started off, because Mother's Day is tomorrow, talking about comfort, and that's a place that a lot of people find comfort. It's easy to reach a place as individuals where we become satisfied. So we got to be careful that comfort is one thing, but being satisfied with the status quo or where we're at, it can be something in the structure in our lives that, okay, I do the same thing over and over every day. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But we as Christians have to be careful that we don't get so predictable in our time and our relationship with God that that just becomes rote and we don't dig deeper and continue to grow deeper in our relationship with God. For many, this kind of stability provides a deep sense of security, and that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's at the same time, the type of comfortable living invades our spiritual life. That's when we have to be careful and watch out. That's when it can cause trouble. And that's why it's great for us that we're able to examine our lives often. We do that at Passover, but we also, as Christians, know that we need to do that much more often than just at Passover. There's nothing wrong with being satisfied with your job, but when we become satisfied with our dedication that we have and our relationship that we have with God, then that becomes a problem. Nothing wrong with being comfortable with our home and with our automobile and many other things. But when we become comfortable with our prayer life, that it's the same thing day in and day out, and yet the needs change. We hear about today, we heard about those in India that need our prayers. We need to move out of our comfort zone and make sure that we're spiritually growing day by day. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. If any of us have ever reached a place where we can be satisfied with our spiritual progress, we would say, well, the Apostle Paul could have been that way, couldn't he? Well, remember what he had to say here in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, starting in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Again, this showing that Paul was not allowing himself to get comfortable. In fact, when we look at the word there, press on and press towards a goal, that means to move rapidly and decisively towards an object, to cause, to run, or set in motion. So that has the foundation of cause. There's a cause for wanting to actually move in that direction. to follow in haste in order to find something, to run after, to pursue. So not only do many individuals live in spiritual comfort zone, and I'm not saying that anybody here does, but it is something that we should check ourselves to, but so that we can, as a church, as a whole. Now, we may pray for the church as we should, and we may not be as active as we should. Do we pray often enough for the church? Are we as active as we should be with the church? It's easy to become satisfied with the way things are. A church is in serious trouble when it becomes satisfied, complacent, and finds itself in a comfort zone. But beyond that, we as people, because we know, Ecclesia, that we make up the church, that do we find ourselves complacent and in our own comfort zone? So how do we move out of that comfort zone, spiritually speaking? We move out of our comfort zone by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to make God's way our life, our comfort zone. God's way of life, our comfort zone. Something that I was very uncomfortable with when I was growing up was heights. So I took up a sport or activity that would help me overcome that. You may have heard me talk about hang gliding before. So I went out and I took one lesson. It was too expensive. So I bought a book and a hang glider and taught myself how to hang glide one summer. But I want to talk about that next year. It was my sophomore year at the University of Arizona, and I had found a hill about 45 minutes southeast of Tucson, where I was going to school. And oftentimes on weekends, I would take a few friends. We would go out, and Saturday night, we would camp out in the Sierra Vista area, outside of Sierra Vista. And there was a 200-foot hill that was there. We'd get up the next morning, and we'd have a nice breakfast with pancakes and things. And then we'd go over to this hill. And what I would do at that hill is I would teach them to be able to hang glide. Now, not having them go off of some massive cliff or anything of like that. But the 200-foot hill, the first thing that I would do to help instill confidence in them, and again, this was an activity I took up to overcome, to get push me out of my comfort zone, if you will. But the first thing that I would do is I'd go up on top of the hill, and then I would glide down that 200 feet and land down, and it started off fairly steep, and then it was very gentle at the bottom as far as the hill goes. And then there was a pond beyond that. There was one particular time, though, that as we were up top and I was getting ready to go, the wind had picked up and it was so strong that I had to ask people to hang on to what's called the guy wires on either side of the control arm. So I had one person hanging on to each of the guy wires, and I said, it's important now when I say go, you both let go and hit the deck so that I can take off. So that went down without a hitch. It was interesting for me because that was the first time I actually launched and went backwards because the wind was that strong. I had enough forward wind speed to be able to get the lift that I needed out of the hang glider. I went directly up, and then I was able to control it and come down. Not a problem, except for the pond was now in my landing zone. So I went out over the pond, and you can imagine, here I am trying to show people and give confidence that, you guys can try this out because I know what I'm doing. And pretty soon, I'm about ready to get my feet wet. As I went out over the pond, I was praying heavily, and the wind was still strong enough that I could actually put it into a stall, and it pulled me back. And I landed just outside the pond. They were all like, wow, that's impressive. And I'm like, well, that wasn't me, but ended up having a perfect landing. Now, if I had landed in the water, what would that do for their comfort zone of, all right, Bill's going to teach us how to hang glide? The winds of trouble are nothing new to God's people. We have difficulties. We have trials in all aspects of life. It's not an easy life that we have been called to. The Bible is filled with stories of those who step out of their comfort zone and find themselves in trouble only to be comforted by God. I mean, think about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their fiery furnace. Daniel had the lion's den. Joseph was cast into prison. Paul, shipwrecked and beaten with stripes. Peter was sent to prison. John, exiled to Patmos. David had to flee from Saul, and Samson had his eyes put out. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Psalms chapter 34 and in verse 19. It's nice when we can be in our comfort zone. That's why it's called that. It makes it comfortable for us. But God wants us to continue to develop that deeper relationship with Him. Psalm 34 and in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not some, but God will deliver us out of them all. It takes faith. We have to truly believe that, not have doubt in the relationship we have with God. Clyde Gordon, who was completely paralyzed from his neck down, edited a magazine called The Triumph. And in that, he said this, Christ is no security against storms. Christ is no security against storms, but he is perfect security in storms. He does not promise an easy passage, but he does guarantee a safe landing. The hang gliding experience that I had looked like it was not going to be a safe landing. It turned out to be a safe landing. I give God the credit for that. Daniel in the lion's den came out to have a safe landing. Joseph in prison had a safe landing. Esther, when think about that she would potentially have death just approaching the king, but she had the faith and the strength to move out of her comfort zone and had a safe landing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Very important for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and here in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, like we heard from the gentleman, Gordon, I just missed his name, Clyde Gordon, when he said, Christ is no security against the storms, but he is perfect security in the storms. Bringing that out here, God will find a way to help us through the storm. It's not necessarily that he's going to push those storms away, and sometimes he does. We don't know how many times we have had a difficulty in life that he has just pushed away because he knew we were not ready for that at that time, or we had too much going on in our lives. How many times has that happened for us? Pentecost is only 1 week away, and God uses the Holy Spirit to change our lives, to pull us out of our comfort zones and put us in God's comfort zone. One way that he does that, and I want to take a look at three ways that he does that today, but the first one is God uses the Holy Spirit to direct our steps. God uses the Holy Spirit to direct our steps. Sometimes God must light a fire under us to get us moving. We've all dealt with that. Some people need encouragement to be able to get something done. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to change. Is God trying to get our attention? The question we might ask. Proverbs 16 and verse 19. We'll turn to Proverbs because we'll hit a couple of Proverbs here. Proverbs 16. And in verse 19, because again, God will direct our steps if we allow him to. Are we asking him to? And again, the point here is asking God to take us out of our comfort zone and help us to draw closer to him. And God does that by directing our steps. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart plans his way. We tend to do that. Humans like to plan out what are they going to do. this is the direction I want to go. And then all of a sudden something comes in play. Maybe we lose a job and we have to start looking in a different direction. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord directs his steps. And that is done through the miracle of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and guiding and directing us. But we have to stir up that spirit constantly. And oftentimes it means getting out of our physical comfort zones. The world deceives us. What news can you trust today? You turn on the TV, you look at print media or on the internet for news. But after a serious bout with trouble, we don't usually care as much about what others are thinking other than those that are praying for us, those that are helping us through that difficulty. Society has made sin a normal way of life. So that's where even if we do see something on the television or the internet, how do we know what that truth is? And the only way we can really understand that is to bring it back to God's truth. And does it match with that? But Satan is so sly that he has constantly made the morals of society decay and decay and decay until that has become such a comfort zone for everybody we interact with. I say everybody, but for so many that we interact with, that is just the norm, the way of life that it is. Let's go to Proverbs 3. We're here in Proverbs. A few pages back, Proverbs 3. We'll read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3. We'll read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3 in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's easy to read over that. We've read it how many times? But do we truly trust? I will state to you that a way to tell that is how much doubt do we have? When we pray and we talk to God and we ask God something, do we have faith that it's going to happen? Or do we have doubt? That's what Satan wants to do, is cast the doubt in our minds. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. God will direct our paths if we'll allow him to do that. Take us out of our comfort zone. Another time that I was taken out of my comfort zone was went hiking with young adults, with church, and we went up to the Wind Rivers. There were 8 of us, I believe, and we spent 8 nights at right at around 10,000 feet of elevation. We went 5 days without seeing another human being. It was beautiful, phenomenal. We had a leader that was leading us around, and what he would do is he would come up over a crest or something, and he would scout out, and he would, there's the cairn. And I didn't know what a cairn was, but I quickly learned. But basically, a stack of rocks that would be at certain intervals. So if you were going along a trail, you would go to the next cairn, to the next cairn, to the next cairn. So this, in essence, was our directing. It was showing us the path that we would go to be able to be safe and keep us on that correct path. We came up to a scree field. So a scree field is a bunch of large rocks that were on the side of a mountain, and you can get them at different angles, but it was a pretty good angle, probably 40 degrees, 35, 40 degrees, and we were going to walk across that. Well, when we came up to that scree field, he looked across and looked and looked and then took off walking, and we all followed him across that scree field. When we got to the other side, looked for the cairn, and there was no cairn there. So what he did is he picked up rocks and built a cairn for the next people to be able to, when they came up to that scree field, they could look at it and say, wow, that's where we need to go. Anybody got a problem with that? The whole time I was thinking that this was consistently planned out by engineers and cartographers, and all of these paths were set out there so that we knew exactly where we needed to go. But when this happened, that took me a little bit out of that comfort zone and said,
Wow.
How many other Karens were set up by just somebody that just walked by and said, oh, there's not a Karen here. Let's put one here. This looks like a good place. So that took me a little bit out of my comfort zone. And we crossed across there. God directs our steps. Here's a story that came from On Fire Ministries. On Fire Ministries, and it's titled, God Directs Our Steps Like a June Bug. A dear friend of mine always said he felt like God directed his steps like a June bug. That might sound a little unusual until you hear his reasoning. When my friend was a little boy, he and his friends would have June bug races. They had a start line and a finish line and would cup their hands around the sides of the June bug to direct them to the finish line. The June bugs were guided by the presence of the hands. My friend always saw that as God directing his steps just as he guided his June bug in the race. Thought that was an interesting analogy. As we trust and look to God, God directs our steps. The June bug analogy is really a good, beautiful picture of God's personal, strong presence in our life and through the Holy Spirit guiding us along the path, directing our steps. Not only did God, our Creator, give us our start, he sees the finish line. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, we know, says that he is the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 6. Because we can trust God to direct our steps. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says that we can be confident that God, who began a work in us, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, I won't turn there because I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. David pictures how God directs our steps. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they may stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. How is that for a comfort zone, if you will? For the Lord holds them by the hand. God directs our steps and delights in every detail of it. Holds us by the hand to keep us from falling when we stumble. On that same trip when we're touring around the Wind Rivers, I remember there was this one area we came up to where a large flat rock just rolled around the corner, and the leader just went up there, and there was probably about a 2-inch, you know, step that came out from the rock. It probably was really 4 or 5 or 6. But anyway, he just walked up there like a goat and just walked on across, and the next person went, and the next person went, and I got up there, and of course, I'm looking down where it fell 50, 70 feet down off the side of that mountain. No ropes or anything. And everybody else just trounced on across there. And it took me a little bit more than just a simple walk to get across there, but was able to do it. Took me out of my comfort zone again. But it was amazing how this leader was able to just walk up there and just scurry right across there without a hesitation at all. God keeps us from falling when we stumble. He will hold our hand and do that through the Holy Spirit, which is the power that works in us as we stay close to God. God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, Paul and Silas out of jail, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, but it was good for them to go through these experiences. Now, when we look at it, we can say it's good, and it can be for one of a couple reasons. They may need to have that experience to go through. And once you do, then that builds faith. As you do that, that builds the faith, one experience on top of another. It's also for us, excellent example for us to be able to read and to be able to draw strength from as we see what those that have gone before have gone through. It was good for those experiences. Psalm chapter 37. So, didn't have you go there, but let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, And the world is full of evildoers, are they not? And that's the comfort zone that Satan wants us to find. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then down to verse 23 and 24, we read before, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The June bug concept, the guidance that is there for us. Here, and he upholds us, which means, upholds means to support or to sustain. And when we look at that, the sustain portion of that, that's getting to actual sustenance. What do you need to be able to exist in the sustenance level of that? You ever feel like you're floundering in life? Maybe feel that your path is not your own, somehow controlled by other people or circumstances? We just get into this pattern of life that continue to go through, and that's what I do day in and day out. Maybe we're facing a problem that we're trying to solve on ourselves, and it may be that this problem is the very thing that God is going to use to help direct our steps. So point number one was that God uses the Holy Spirit to direct our steps, to direct us, if you will. We need to get out of our comfort zone and follow. So point two is God uses the Holy Spirit to protect us. So one was to direct us, but God also uses the Holy Spirit to protect us. A problem can be a blessing in disguise. It prevents you from being harmed by something more serious. Oftentimes we don't know about that, especially not in advance, but then it can come up. When we were in Western North Carolina, we went to services over in East Tennessee, in Cleveland, Tennessee. After that, both of my two older boys were in Boy Scouts, and we went to a reenactment that was going on that weekend. So after services, we drove over there. Our plan was drive over there, and then at sunset, we would go set up our tent and then partake in the rest of the weekend with our scout troop. As we left services, and we were headed that way, then I remembered, I forgot, and I left because we took two vehicles. Dawn had the girls, and I had the boys. And we took off, and probably 15, 20 minutes after we took off, I realized I forgot my Bible. I left that with Dawn in the vehicle, and I said, I want to have my Bible for this weekend. So I called her up, and she had to turn around and come back and get me. And that was not what she had in mind, wasn't what she had planned. She wasn't real happy about that at that particular time. So she turned around, met us, gave us my Bible, and then took off with the girls again. Later that night, she called and told us that if she had been where she was, she would have been right at the point where a motorcycle accident took place. God protected her and the girls from potentially getting into that accident. And it was a very bad accident. I had to bring helicopters into the Ocoee area, which was very difficult to do. Many prayers answered along those lines to be able to get help to the people that were riding the motorcycles. We don't always know when something that we may consider to be, this is a discomfort or this is a trial for me, that God knows so much better what the big picture is. So we look at when God protects us through the use of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was put in prison wrongfully by his master. The chief butler, the cupbearer, forgot Joseph when he was reinstated. And after God pulled Joseph out of the prison and made him second in all the land only to the Pharaoh, Joseph said this to his brothers, and this is in Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, Joseph, talking to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as It is this day to save many people alive. God saw the picture. God was protecting so many, and yet who could see it? Who could see that picture ahead of time? We've all read through and gone through the story of Joseph and all that he went through. How difficult would that be? Here's a blog post by Gloria Copeland that I felt fit at this point. Starts off, in a world experiencing wars, rumors of wars, and dangers of every kind, it's comforting to know that God has promised to protect his people. We may not all be on the front lines of a natural war, but we all face an enemy who intends to steal, kill, and destroy. However, we must always remember our God is more powerful than the devil. And when we make God our refuge, we have security in him. Just like a newborn baby wrapped in a warm, secure blanket, God wraps us in his love, power, and protection. Psalm 91 has kept many a person safe during all kinds of danger and war. For instance, a commander in the Vietnam War who made all of his troops quote Psalm 91 every day, whether they liked it or not, and it paid off. His company didn't have one casualty. Just a coincidence? I also heard of a similar testimony about a group of soldiers in World War II from a very small town named Seadrift, Texas. Every day, the women of Seadrift got together and prayed Psalm 91 over those men, and as a result, they all returned home safely. What a miracle. Or was it a coincidence? That's the kind of protection God has provided for us. So many times when we don't even see it, God provides that protection. We have to stay close to God. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 61. Psalms chapter 61, we're not far away. Go. Psalm chapter 61, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For I have been a shelter, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. God himself is our shelter, our refuge. We've heard those terms before. The dictionary defines refuge as that which shelters or protects from danger, distress, or calamity, a stronghold which protects by its strength, or a sanctuary which secures safely by its sacredness, any place inaccessible to an enemy. How many times and how much protection does God provide for us every day? Turn to Psalm chapter 91. We could easily spend the rest of the sermon just going through Psalm 91. We won't, but I want to bring out a couple of points and a couple of scriptures here, a couple of verses. Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. And then dropping down to verse 9 through 11. Dropping down to verse 9 through 11. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. We need to get our eyes on God. He is our help. He is our deliverance. And we can easily talk about that, but it's the action, our actions that really count. Do we truly show faith or do we have doubt? Do we have faith or do we have doubt? Psalm 121. Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We sing about that. But how powerful is that? Spend time with God and His Word. Meditate on the Scriptures about protection until we're confident that we have it. You realize that in Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 and 2, four different names for God in just those two verses. Elyon, Shaddai, El Shaddai, Yahweh, and Elohim. In the first two verses. So that's another study in itself and how powerful that can be. But we need to spend time on God by keeping our eyes on Him. That means that we're putting our minds and hearts into His Word, understanding that prayer daily so that we can then meditate on God's Word and have God give us that understanding through the Holy Spirit. Peter walked on water in Matthew 14, and then he sinks. We know that story. And then Jesus saves him, and what does he say in Matthew 14, verse 31? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Doubt means to be uncertain about something. Faith means to believe God's word is true and He is able to make His promises happen. Why did you doubt? Now we can look at that and say, isn't it amazing that he even stepped out of the boat to be able to show that level of faith? But then when he looks around at the wind and the storm, and then doubt comes in. And that's what Satan does. That's what Satan does. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. The Holy Spirit gives us power to be overcomers, be able to overcome that which Satan tries to place stumbling blocks in front of us. Revelation 21, and but you can be there. We're going to look at verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. Because here's a statement for you. God hates a coward. God hates a coward. Now, look at this in Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What leads that list? The cowardly. Those that don't show the faith, that don't have the courage to stand up and follow God. Moses, with a shepherd's staff, invades the royal court of the Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who was considered to be, by so many physical people, God on earth, who has the most power and the largest army ever assembled at that time. Moses looked him in the face and said, "Let my people go." Moses was no coward. David, the shepherd boy, goes up against the giant Goliath. All of Israel's army was afraid of Goliath. And David says in 1 Samuel 17:45, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." Moses was no coward. David was no coward. Their faith was strengthened by the examples that they went through. They did not stay in their comfort zone. Satan attacks us because we are God's children and he hates us. He hates us. We are the light of the world and he is the prince of darkness. We are of the truth and he is the father of lies. We are called and anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. Put on the full armor of God. Fight back. Stand firm. Let's fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. If doubt creeps in, we need to take spiritual action fast. Get our shield of faith back up. Get our heart anchored in the truth. Not listening to Satan's lies. And we do that when we are in tune and in comfort with the society, with this Babylonian system that we have to live in. Remember, we have a refuge and a covering that is greater than anything that this world has, more powerful than any enemy that Satan can send against us. get a picture in our mind, in our heart, of God encircling us like the hands around that June bug to direct our steps, to protect us. Keep that picture so clear in our minds that it does give us the direction for our path. Psalm chapter 5, and in verse 11 in the Amplified Version, puts it this way, "But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you, in God, rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and defend them." God uses the Holy Spirit to protect us. He uses the Holy Spirit to direct us, to protect us. And the point three, God uses the Holy Spirit to perfect us, to perfect us. Problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. God is far more interested in our character than our comfort. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5. Because God is much more interested in the building of our character than how much time we get to be comfortable and sit in our comfort zones. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Verse 3, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us," to each and every one of us sitting here that has been baptized. We have been given by the laying on the hands that Holy Spirit to be able to help us overcome. God expects us to have to live a courageous life. Cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the power God uses to perfect us. Psalms chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71, verses 17 through 19. Psalm 71, verse 17, there it is, verse 17 through 19. "Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe trouble shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." And there's the key, is that yes, we can have a comfort zone as Christians and should, but that comfort zone needs to be an area that is directed by God when we are close to Him, and comfort me on every side, and God will. And God will do that. Here we find the effect of trouble. It was a blessing in disguise, a benefit to the life of this good servant of God. Paul emphasized in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." We are called according to His purpose. Matthew 5:48, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father is perfect in heaven." We are to strive for that, to be overcomers, and we can't do that without the help from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, verses 12 and 13, I'll read this for time. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love has been perfected in us. By this we know we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of the Holy Spirit." Love of God is perfected in us through the Holy Spirit. God uses the Holy Spirit to perfect us. God wants to guide us, direct us. He wants to protect us, and He wants to perfect us. God is at work in our lives. He's calling us to rise above. He wants us to keep our eyes on Him, just as when we came out from an area, we would scan over and look for a Karen to be able to give us direction to safely pass to that next part of the path. God wants us to constantly keep His eyes on Him. keep our eyes like we're looking for that Karen. James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those who go through fire or water should remember it is God's way of refining and cleansing. When Adam and Eve were in trouble, God stepped in and met their needs. Noah's problems were solved by the God who cared. Joseph was released from prison. The children of Israel were delivered through the Red Sea. Elijah got God's help in getting some rain. Paul and Silas were set free from the Philippian jail. Satan will tempt us to try to pull us out of our comfort zone. And he does that subtly, oftentimes through society, creating a physical comfort zone for society all around us. We are to keep our eyes out, to watch and pray, to see what is going on, to know what's going on. God demands we discern the signs of the times, to get out of our comfort zone, to draw close to God. Here's an example. Take this next paragraph from Life, Hope, and Truth on Samuel. Samuel labored throughout his life for the welfare of his people and served Israel as Israel's last judge before people asked for a monarchy. The Bible record shows the nation of Israel survived and flourished under his leadership of Samuel. Eventually, order was established, godliness was promoted, and the nation was at peace and prospered. Samuel's life serves as an example for believers, including his obedience to God from the time he was a youth, his faith, and his willingness to intercede for others. God cited Samuel along with Moses as leaders of the Israelites whose prayers for mercy for the people he had often heeded. As time passed, the sins of Israelites became so egregious that God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15:1, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable towards this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Samuel was considered a great prophet. He allowed God to direct his steps to protect him and to perfect him. Samuel's mother is another great example, the influence that she had on him. Hannah, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So Hannah had no children. We pick that up in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 2. As is talking about Elkanah, her husband, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Drop down to verses 6 and 7. And her rival, talking about Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Drop down to verse 9, verses 9 through 11. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. Eli saw her and thought she was drunk when she was on the stairs there. And Hannah said to him, no, I'm a woman that's of sorrow and full of grief. So then in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Verse 18, and to me this is powerful. Verse 18, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Okay, so that's a simple sentence that's there, but the faith that Hannah displayed is powerful. She went and ate, and her face was not sad. Why? Why? Because she believed that what God's servant had said. She had amazing faith. She raised Samuel until he was weaned, and I'm sure he learned the basics of faith and obedience from her. Hannah kept her word, kept her vow, even though that was her son that she had. And that's the only son that she had at that point in time. God blessed her with five other children. After Samuel was weaned, she presented him to Eli, the priest. Hannah told Eli in verse 27 and 28, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. Hannah had faith and was obedient. Samuel became a great prophet of God, in part because Hannah was a great mother. If we're willing to move out of our comfort zone, then God can work with us. He can work to perfect us. Suppose the real issue that confronts us, whether or not we are guilty of being complacent. Are we spiritually complacent? Are we satisfied with the growth that we have as a Christian? We should never be satisfied. Are we satisfied with the fruits of the Spirit that God is growing in us? Are we happy with the level of spiritual growth that we have? I want to read Psalm chapter 62, verses 5 through 8, but I want to read it in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation. I am standing in absolute stillness, silent before the one I love, waiting as long as it takes for him to rescue me. Only God is my Savior, and he will not fail me, for he alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me. As a champion defender, there is no risk of failure with God. So why would I worry? Why would I worry and let it paralyze me, even when troubles multiply around me? God's glory is all around me. His wraparound presence is all I need. For the Lord is my Savior, my hero, my life-giving strength. Trust only in God every moment. Tell him all your troubles and pour out your heart longings to him. Believe me when I tell you, he will help you. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Treasure your mothers. We've learned so much from them, and God tells us to give them honor. Next week is Pentecost. Understand that the power God has so graciously given us in the Holy Spirit is so powerful for us as being overcomers, to be able to overcome Satan, this society, and ourselves, if you will. Let's not get comfortable where we are. Let's get out of our comfort zone and let God, through the Holy Spirit, direct us, protect us, and perfect us. And as it says in Joshua 1 and verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.